Morning, everyone. Happy 4th of July. Let's everybody stand up. We're going to worship the Lord.
Shine your light and let the whole world see. shine united, let the whole world see. We're singing for the glory of the risen King. Jesus, shine your light and let the whole world see. We're singing for the glory of the risen King.
All right, let's praise the Lord this day. Son of God, Son of Man, His life poured out for all. See His hands, see His scars, His love can't be denied. What is our God?
Our God is high and lifted up. It is the cross my only plea, the blood He shed delivers me. Our Savior's arms are open wide, a love so great, the cross of
we owe, He bears it as His own. Brought to life, we are free to live in Christ alone.
Our God is high and lifted up. It is the cross my only plea, the blood He shed delivers me. Our Savior's arms are open wide, a love so great, the cross of Christ.
See the Lamb of God, see the Father's love, all to Jesus we owe, He paid it all. See the Lamb of God, see the Father's love, all to Jesus we owe, He paid it all.
castles crumble and breath is fleeting, upon this rock I will stand. Upon this rock I will stand. Glory, glory, we have no
God, as we enter into this place and this weekend and this week as we celebrate freedom in our country, we thank you that that true freedom resides in Christ Jesus. And so, God, we thank you for the price you paid on the cross, that you restored us to freedom. And so, God, as we worship here today and in each aspect of our lives, we give you thanks for being in this country that with all of its struggles and issues, that it still is a place where we can come and freely worship you. So, God, as we are together here as your people, fill this place with your Holy Spirit. We ask this in Jesus' mighty name. Everybody says, amen. Amen. All right, greet everybody around you, and everybody else, all the kids can go to our Shoreline Sunday School ministry. Good morning, everyone. How you doing? Good, good. Everybody is here. Hope you're feeling well and looking forward to either an extended weekend or at least a day off in the middle of the week, right? Everybody good for that? All right. It is great to see you. We want to welcome our visitors. If you're here, we're glad that you're here. We're glad that you're our guest. Hopefully you received a small card, which also gives you the opportunity to get a small gift that we have. Thank you for attending with us today, and you can take it home and do whatever you want with it, all right? But we are glad that you're here. Please look at some of the other information. Next Sunday, it is July, believe it or not. Next Sunday, July 8th, there will be the Grief Share informational meeting for those who want to help out with that, and then you can read some of the other announcements as well as there. Up-and-coming youth group adventure, you can see those things that are listed there, and the main event in Newark on July 15th. Save the date, VBS, you saw some VBS things as you walked in today, correct? All right, and there is some registration already that is set up out here. You can also register online, but we'd like for you to, if you're planning on registering your kid or somebody else's kid in the neighborhood, you want to get them out of the neighborhood for a while, and bring them in, just go ahead and register there if you would like to, and we'd love for you to do that. And you can see the dates for that, July 23rd through the 27th, so mark your calendars for that. Again, we're rolling along with our airplane. It's in the back, all the way in the back, so we're right there, and we've got to get to there, so we're moving, we're getting closer, and we want to thank you for that. I know there's people who will have baskets that enable, we've gone from here, in case you want to know, going from there all the way around and coming back, and we're on the top line right there, so we just got to get to there, and this is going to help support primarily the ministry efforts that we are going to be able to do in Haiti. It's the sweat, blood, and tears down there that we're going to do, which also just brings the presence of God, so thank you for that. Each link represents $10, so that is amazing, and so we want to thank you and everyone else who gave that. We have traveled 1,175 miles, so we're excited about that. We have 266 miles to go. All right. Pregnancy center, there was $182 last week for the pregnancy center, and so we have those. All right. Now we go to our time of prayers. Before we do that, we want to welcome Church Online. Everybody say hello to Church Online. Because some of our regulars who are sitting with us normally are probably traveling and taking a look today, so we want to wish them a great holiday weekend as well. We want to lift up several in prayer requests. Joanne has asked for a prayer for a friend, Diane, and said the Lord knows her need, and also for Buck Edwards, a fractured vertebrae, and asking for a quick healing. Patty prayers for Steven Snyder and Steven to have a safe trip to Indianapolis this week with another big win. He's running in Indianapolis. I just got back from there and for the NACC conference, and it was a great conference. Got a chance to hear Chris Hodges, who we just did the study, Fresh Air. Fantastic pastor, and got a chance to meet those you've been around for a while. Hope Rising, remember we did that
Gene Apple and got a chance to talk to him and tell him how much we appreciated his work in helping us do that. So it was a great time of worship and connection to God in a different way. All right? So if we have any other prayer requests really quickly, I want to touch on any. Yes, let's go here. Okay, Bailey is having back surgery on the 31st. Okay, so we want to lift her in prayers. Anyone else? Yes. Ooh. Okay, so ovarian cancer with your boss. Okay, so that's horrible. We want to lift that up. And how are you doing? Okay, swollen. Okay, Paige had her wisdom teeth done this week. So. All right. Yes. Okay, so Michelle's Aunt Vivian recovering from the fractured hip. Okay. All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord God, as the days and weeks and months seem to just keep ticking away, and we're looking, and now we're like, wow, half the year, and then we'll be done another half of the year, and then we'll be done, and we'll be looking at starting 2019. It just seems like all the plans for this year may have gotten jostled up, but God, we just pray that we will continually grow closer to you the remainder of this year. We know that today we're expecting this heat wave that's coming through, and help us just to remember that as we sit in here with the blessings of air conditioning, and that we can do that in our house and other kinds of things, that we have so many things, that there are several others in this world who don't have anything, and so maybe we just continue to focus and see those individuals in your life. God, there are so many needs as we lift it up in the prayer list, people who have joys of different things, for birthday celebrations and birth and other kinds of things. And there's those of us who are struggling. There's those who are coming to the end of life's journey, and as they're coming to the end of this, they're looking back and trying to figure if they lived a good life and whether they even connected to you, and we pray that they will. Others are just dealing with the struggle of depression and anxiety. Others don't even know what they're dealing with, but yet they need something. And we, God, just pray that that'll be you. So for these and many other prayer requests that we have, we just want to thank you that we live in this wonderful country. As I said, with all its issues and problems, still is the greatest country on earth. And God, you've placed us here in this country, not for ourselves, but for the world. And so I thank you that those of us who are here have taken that great commission to go into the ends of the earth very seriously. There are people all around the country and world that are watching us either today or some other time this week. There are those that are our brothers and sisters in a completely other country, that today is just a normal day to them. It's not an Independence Weekend or anything else. But God, you have called us to be brothers and sisters in Christ. So I thank you for the many blessings that you've given us as we live in this country, the United States, that we may in turn be able to turn that back and give blessings to those in our community and around the world. And so, Lord, as we receive your gift, multiply them, use them here, and to further your kingdom around the world. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.
Sometimes feel lonely. No matter what, until this race is won, I will stand my ground where hope can be found. I will stand my ground where hope can be found. Oh, oh Lord, oh Lord, I know you hear my cry. Your take all that is wrong and make it right.
Good morning. Scripture this morning is Psalm 127, verse 1. Unless the Lord builds the house, the builders labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the guards stand watch in vain. And then we turn to Matthew 7, verses 24 through 27. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice, like a wise man who built his house on a rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash.
Does seem a little odd that it's already 4th of July to anybody. Wow, it seems like we don't have spring anymore around here, do we? It goes like from the 60s to like the 90s anymore, it seems like. So anyway, I don't know what you think about when you think about the 4th of July. For some of you, it may be family gatherings and picnics. For some of you, you may think of veterans who paid the ultimate price. For others of you, it may be you're thinking about a loved one or someone who's serving in the military now to maintain our freedom and create freedom around the world. For others, you think, oh my gosh, I got a lot of people coming over and I got to get the house cleaned and make it look like I don't live there. And for others of you, you may think of fireworks. How many already heard the fireworks last night? How many pets heard them? You know, they're like freaking out. There we go. You know, you may even be the person with the fireworks that you know everybody has it like in the neighborhood. There's that one person who spends like 3 months' salary to light up the sky and burn down the neighborhood. Everybody know what I'm talking about? Everybody have that person, and that's the one time in the year everybody flocks to their house, or at least in an 8 mile vicinity, and you got somebody who's going over like this, and they go, run, and then it doesn't go off, and they do one of these things like that, and you have that. So and then you may be the people like this. You're too cheap to buy them, and you stand outside with the sparklers, write your name in the sky. Yay! And you're like 50 years old. Yay! And you throw it up in the air to make yourself feel good. Look, firework, you know. But whatever it is, some of us always kind of have a different thought about the 4th of July. And but one of the things that this is supposed to do that I think it should always do, I think it helps us to look back at our country and also to look ahead when we're here. And so today is going to be a little different of a sermon series and a sermon in some ways, because I'm going to share with you some history. I'm also going to share with you some other things, but I really believe that this is something that God brought to my attention, and there's people who are much more knowledgeable about this, and I think in many ways we don't get the full history as we should get this, but I think it's going to help us. And I think King David understood this concept about God in the midst of a nation. As a matter of fact, he said this in Psalm 127, verse 1. He said this, "Unless the Lord builds the house, the builders labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the guard stand watch in vain." And so what we have here is basically he's just saying something very simple. Apart from God, if God is not in it, it's not going to matter. If God is not supportive of it, if God isn't protecting and watching over, then we're doomed in the first place. And so what I want to do is share some three areas in this message. And basically there are three seasons of our world, our country's history and future, as we look forward in this. Does that sound like a plan? Because that's what I got, all right? So that's what we're going to do. So the first thing I want to talk about is America then. Everybody say America then. America then. And what we're talking about here is pretty much in the past. The past, the start of the United States of America. It had a solid foundation. It was not perfect, and they weren't perfect people. We have this kind of thing that we put people in like stained glass and put them up as wonderful. We mentioned the name Ben Franklin and think, oh, Ben. And when we read about his life, he wasn't the greatest person in the world, but he had flaws like you and me. All of them did. And yet they weren't perfect people, but we did have a solid foundation in Christian principles. Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount, probably his greatest sermon recorded throughout history. Even those who are not Christians look at the teaching in the Sermon on the Mount as the greatest, some of the greatest teachings that have ever been given by anyone. And he's teaching the Sermon on the Mount, and he wraps it all up at the end with talking about the foundations. The foundation, it's great things to live in this whole kind of Sermon on the Mount kind of thing, the Beatitudes. Right? Anybody old enough to remember when they were called that? The Beatitudes? Be this, be that, be that. And so in that process, he says, okay, these are how you're supposed to live. But first, before you build anything, you got to put a foundation. And so he shares that by giving the story that was read to us today. And let's look at this. He says, "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who builds his house on the rock. The rain came down, and the streams rose, and the wind blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundation in the rock." As I said, in early America, it's very interesting that we find out something we don't hear much about is 29 of the 56 signers, original signers of the Declaration of Independence, had seminary or Bible degrees. Very interesting. Now, you may look and you'll see that the schools they went to were Harvard and Yale and some of these, Princeton and some of these areas. But just to let you know, out of 108 colleges that were first founded in this country, 106 of them had a focus on Christ and taught. Yale and Harvard and Princeton all got their start by being areas of institution to study for preachers of the gospel. When you look further, on May 17th, 1776, it was coming up right before this great day that we're going to celebrate. And it ended up being a time where they called the government, the Continental Congress, called for all the colonies they had a proclamation of a day of prayer and fasting for all to seek God's divine help in the midst of what they were looking to do. As a matter of fact, when you ask some of the early people, such as John Adams and others, who's responsible for about 15 years in after the freedom in the United States, they began to ask, hey, who was responsible for this Declaration of Independence? And John Adams and John Quincy Adams and others ended up naming 8 different pastors who were white and black. One of them was a guy named, his last name was Hoosier. Does that name sound familiar? Hoosiers. Because anybody know where the Hoosiers are? Right? Oklahoma. Oklahoma Hoosiers. Anybody know what a Hoosier is? It's an African-American pastor. I doubt many people in Oklahoma, that's what they're known for, right? But what he was a vibrant pastor. Many of the people in Continental Congress said he was the greatest speaker they had ever heard. Keep in mind, they heard Thomas Jefferson, George Washington, Benjamin Franklin. And yet they referred to this African-American pastor back in the 1700s and 1800s as the greatest pastor or the greatest speaker they had ever heard. He was so powerful that when he spoke, people came from all around to hear him. And then they got call and say, oh, you're one of them Hoosier Christian, aren't you? And it stuck, and that's why Oklahoma is the Hoosiers. I doubt many people who've gone to an Oklahoma-Nebraska game know what a Hoosier technically is. John Witherspoon, who was an original signer of the Declaration of Independence. Anybody heard of him? Was one of the greatest pastors. He was the Billy Graham of his day. At the time, and many people thought about that. We look at some of the things when we look at quotes from John Adams, signer of the Declaration, a judge, a diplomat, one of the 2 signers of the Bill of Rights, second president of the United States. He said, suppose a nation in some distant region should take the Bible for their only law book, and every member should regulate his conduct by where precepts there exhibited. What a utopia. What a paradise this region would be. He said, I have examined all religions, and the result is that the Bible is the best book in the world. You have names like John Jay, who was the first Chief Justice of the United States, who said this, unto him who is the author and giver of all good, I render sincere and humble thanks for his manifold and unmerited blessing, and especially for our redemption and salvation by his beloved Son. Blessed be his holy name. He also said the Bible is the best of all books, for it is the Word of God, and it teaches us the Word of God. Others that are listed here, George Washington said, everybody heard of George Washington? Anybody got a dollar? I'll show them to you, okay? Said, you do well to wish to learn our arts and ways of life, and above all, the religion of Jesus Christ. These will make you greater and happier than you are. Others that are here, anybody heard of Daniel Webster? Daniel Webster was a U.S. Senator, Secretary of State, and defender of the Constitution, said the Christian religion, its principles must ever be regarded among the foundations of our civil society. The Bible is a book which teaches man his own individual responsibility and his equality with his fellow man. I could go one after the other, 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 and I could continue on. It's very interesting, from the 56 who signed the Declaration of Independence, 5 were captured and tortured by the British before they died. 12 had their homes ransacked and burned to the ground. 2 lost their sons in war. 1 had 2 sons captured. 9 fought and died from wounds of hardship. Tom McKean was forced to move his family almost constantly because he was so hounded by the British, and he served Congress without pay. Everybody hear that? He served Congress without pay and died in poverty because of the call that was on his life that he had. One after the other after the other. But yet, in our world today, we have article after article after article and saying this was not founded as a Christian nation. And it's hooey. Because we don't know our history. It's interesting. A man who's really well-versed in this was teaching at a college, and he put up a picture of the Continental Congress and the signing of the Declaration of Independence. And he asked the individuals in this law school, Can you name any of the people in here? And who do you think they picked out? Thomas Jefferson and primarily Benjamin Franklin. Which is interestingly enough, the ones we hear most about, yet out of the 56, tended to be the least committed Christians in the whole group. You see, America had a solid foundation. As I said, it was not perfect at all. But it is clear in the writings. A matter of fact, in the Treaty of Paris, which was signed by John Jay, John Adams, and Benjamin Franklin, we were finally separated from British and we agreed to have a treaty. At the top of it, the title of it gives credit to the Almighty Trinity. That's a government document. As a matter of fact, George Washington, at his first inauguration, you know, we had never done this before. He stood, and at his inauguration, he added the words to the end of the speech, something that every president has done to this day, "So help me God." It was a legal term, but he also took it and then kissed the Bible, recognizing that it was, as he knelt, it was his submission to the Word of God and to the precepts of Christianity that this country was built upon, the foundations of Jesus Christ. I could go on and on for hours, and I'm not going to, but if I had to come up with a key word for America's past, early America, it would be this: resolve. Resolve. Resolve about them keeping faithful to the God that provided for them to go ahead and have this country. When you think about it, miracles happened in the midst of the Revolutionary War. The British were the greatest navy on earth. And yet, a bunch of farmers and blacksmiths and others defeated and captured them. Matter of fact, one of the first acts in 1781, when they had this final battle, because there were in 1681, the British had a law that you can print no Bible in the colonies because the only official one is the one that we give to you, and you have to buy it. The first act that Congress did afterwards was to print the Bible of the American colonies. And when they did that, Congress enacted it, and it states, because it is good for teaching in our schools. My, how we have journeyed from our foundations and our resolve from Christ. So now let's look at number two. America now. The present. We have been a blessed nation. And we are a blessed nation. Do you agree? All you have to do is travel somewhere in the world. Am I right? If you go somewhere else, yeah, we got it bad and we get aggravated because we got to sit in traffic. Those of you going to Haiti, get ready. I still take my mind back to the time where we first landed and ended up in Haiti and began to see the trash and poverty that existed there. I think about times where I've gone on really nice vacations to really nice resorts, and yet as I traveled on a bus, I went through some of the worst poverty in the world. We are still blessed beyond measure, so much so that the United States has 4% of the world's population, and yet we are so creative that we have, with technology and all kinds of other creativity, we produce more than the other 96 combined, our 4%. In the world. With our 4% population, we produce 25% of the world's gross domestic product. We are a blessed nation financially and in other ways. You see, some of you might remember an old comedian called Yakov Smirnoff. Remember him? Yakov Smirnoff, I hear he still works in Missouri, Branson, Missouri. But Yakov Smirnoff, he had a saying. He was from Russia, and he would say, "What a country, right? America, what a country." And he said, "I came to America, and I saw this thing called powdered milk, and you just add water." And I thought, wow. He said, "And then I saw this powder, and it was orange juice, and you just add water." And he said, "And then I saw baby powder, and I thought, what a country." Remind me not to get any, okay? We live in an amazing country, and we're so, so blessed. Yet the 40th president of the United States, Ronald Reagan, made the statement, if we forget that we are a nation under God, we are a nation gone under. King David understood this very deeply when he wrote this in Psalm 33, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. You know, I think because we're in church, we think we're doing pretty good. We're good people. And you know, it's a concept. I'm not very good at math. Anybody with me? But there's a concept called parallel lines. I understand that. And parallel lines move this way together, correct? And they always stay together. The problem is, as society has dipped, so have we in the church. And we're staying parallel. We're not widening. We're staying parallel to that. So we're not as bad as the world, but we still are not as good as Christ calls us to be. We are slipping and dipping through the changes and tides of this world. And we've got to stop neglecting the foundation of the Word of God. We've got to be the wise man or woman on the rock. As evangelist and author, Vance Havner, here he is, here's a good picture of him here. We have been so blessed, and this is what he says. He says, the problem is the situation is desperate, and we are not. We have casually stopped and watched as our world has changed. We look at things where prayer seems to be worse than drugs or guns. We look at areas, and I'm saying in our schools, we look at that people, we think that if we invoke the name of Jesus, it's more offensive than some of the other stuff that we hear or say or see out in our world today. There's a verse in the scripture that says, we've forgotten how to blush, and oh, have we forgotten. You see, we have all been so blessed, but if we are not careful, our possessions and our focus on self will lead us down a path where we are not desperate for God anymore. Numbers show that even with the increase of what we call the post-Christian country that we live in, that every year 4,000 to 7,000 churches close their doors. It's not for lack of need. Jesus said the harvest is plentiful. Oh, but the workers are few. Every year. So if I had to come up with a key word for America current, it would be this: relativism. All things are relative. Jesus told us that the gospel would be offensive, and he did that by saying this: I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. In that statement, it's restrictive. If Jesus is one of the many ways to God, then God is the cruelest Father that ever existed. Because he shouldn't have even sent Jesus if there was another way to have him suffer and die. Now, we need to look at something here too. We need to look at something really, really powerful, because many of us in the Christian church want grace, but want to give truth. And what I want to say something to you is that Jesus said, you must have grace and truth. What is truth? Truth is saying, this is it, this is it, this is it, this is it, this is it. Grace is, even though that's it, I'm going to love you, I'm going to journey with you. You see, Jesus met the woman caught in adultery. The truth was, by the word of God, the people took her out to throw stones at her. I have to say that because if you said she was stoned, people say, well, that was interesting. All right? So, but they took her out, and they were going to throw stones to kill her. Going to stone her. Jesus came up and said, I don't think so. Now, by the law, the legalism of it, by truth, she should have been what? But Jesus added grace. And it says that Jesus began to kneel down, and he began to write in the dirt. We're not quite sure what he wrote. He might have wrote names. He might have wrote sins. All it tells us is that those who were older dropped their, when he said, "If whoever has not sinned, cast the first stone." And he began to write stuff in the dirt. I think it would have been interesting if he was like writing names and going to put like names of the people who were there and names of something else that happened. I thought that would have been hilarious. But he was doing that. The truth is, by the law, she should have been stoned to death. But the fact is, Jesus came and brought grace, which is undeserved love. And every single one of us have it. If you have accepted Jesus Christ's offer of his salvation and forgiveness, you have received grace. And if you have received grace, you must pass it on. But we forget that in our world, and we like to pick certain things and hammer them home about truth, about truth, about truth. And we have no grace. And I don't want to stand in front of the Lord when he says, when I say, "Lord, but I told the truth." And he says, "But you gave no grace. And I extended grace to you. And that's the only reason why you're here." All have sinned and fall short of God's glory. We all deserve, look at the person next to you and say, "You deserve eternal damnation." That's truth. That's truth. I know some of you, you deserve it more than I do. Oh, but we have the grace of Jesus Christ. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound. It should be sweet to us. And we've said those words so much, we're callous to it. "That saved a wretch like me." Amazing grace. When you want to give truth, check yourself with some grace. They go together. We saw an illustration this week that somebody shared, kind of like a rubber band. Truth and grace, they're not rigid. And I believe one of the things that the church has lost in our increasing culture that dips and moves all around is we've lost grace. And that's why we're closing 4,000 churches a year, because we don't have grace. And we want to hit people over the head with an 80-pound Bible. The church in America is not in persecution. We're dealing with some opposition, but we don't understand persecution. All you have to do is ask somebody in Syria, a Syrian Christian, what persecution is. You see, the problem is we look differently at church than we once did. We look at church as another part or another area of our lives. I'm going to work out. I'm going to do church. I'm going to go to work. I'm going to watch TV. I'm going to surf the internet. I'm going to do church. Rather than looking at it as the time where we can come together, that we can be the body of Christ for this world that needs it so much. It's a far cry from our early days of the founding fathers and their congressional proclamations. John Stott, priest, said this: "We must move from having thin skin and a hard heart to having thick skin and a tender heart." That's grace and truth. Our last one: America to become the future. Where are we headed? I don't know. It's tough. It's very difficult for us to say, because there have been several times in the history of this country where, from its onset, where it looked bleak and bad. And then we had two of what they call the Great Awakenings. You saw some in that video of some things that happened. You had the Jesus movement in the 60s and the early 70s. You know, I believe we need to pray for a great awakening of the Holy Spirit to fall once again in our country. You know, there's a story of three people who were on a train for a long train ride for several days, and they were crammed in this little car, and they were riding along. One was a private in the army, one was a lieutenant in the army, and another one was a very beautiful woman. As they were headed down the train, they started to go through this very, very long, dark tunnel. It was so dark that you couldn't even see your hand in front of your face. So about halfway through the tunnel, they heard this loud, passionate kiss, this, and heard a. When they got through the other end of the tunnel, they looked, and the lieutenant was rubbing his face, and it was already swelling up. And the woman looked in and said, "You know what? I'll bet that lieutenant tried to kiss me and instead kissed the private, and he slugged her." The lieutenant said, I bet that private tried to kiss her, and she thought it was me and slapped me. And the private said, just sat back and was thinking, "Where else but in America can you kiss the back of your hand and punch a lieutenant and get away with it?" Where else in America, right? Where else in these United States? Change, as John Adams said, the change came, reason why he mentioned pastors like Harry Hoosier and George Whitefield, was because if you look in the Declaration of Independence, the things that are written in there are things that they heard from the pulpit for 20 years previous. That's why the foundation of our country, whether anybody wants to change it or not, is in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and his son Jesus Christ. In Philippians chapter 2, Paul told us that we need to do this, so that we may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a warped and crooked generation. Are we pretty warped? Then you will shine like stars in the sky as you hold on firmly to the word of life. And then we'll be so able to boast on the day of Christ that I did not run or labor in vain. Paul wrote this not at a high point in his physical life, but he wrote this in prison with the leader at the time's name was Nero. If you know anything about Nero from history, Nero used to go ahead and grab Christians and put them on the top of torches and light them up to light his garden at night. He was one of the most ruthless emperors that ever existed in the torture of Christians for sport. But Paul is saying, you see, we have an opportunity. In this time of for them, persecution, in the time of opposition, in the time of darkness, we have an opportunity to share the light of Christ Jesus more powerfully than we ever could have seen before. We can do that because it's simply this. The darker the background, the brighter the light. You ever notice how when the lights are out, you can see a pinhole of light miles and miles and miles away? Same thing in our faith. There's an interesting account in Mark chapter 1, verse 40 and 42, about a man with leprosy. And leprosy was some sort of skin disease, whether it was officially leprosy or not, we don't technically know, but we know it was some sort of skin disorder. And anybody ever seen somebody with like a skin disorder? You don't just walk up and say, "Hey, how you doing?" You know, kiss them on the cheek because you're afraid you'll get it, right? And so in that culture, look at what it says here. A man with leprosy came to him, Jesus, and begged him on his knees, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." And Jesus became indignant. And he reached out his hand and he touched the man. And he said, "I am willing. Be clean." And immediately the leprosy left the man and he was cleaned. You notice the leper did not say, "If you can." He said, "If you are willing." Because he understood that Jesus had the power to do so. And it tells us he dropped on his knees. Or in other translations of scripture, it said he worshiped him right there. If you are willing. If you are willing. And Jesus does two things. He reached out and he touched the man. In that culture, you stayed in leper colonies. If you left that leper colony or walked somewhere, you had to yell, "Unclean, unclean." They would even wear bells around their necks so that you could hear them. Imagine living that. And at this moment, Jesus touches him. You notice it doesn't say he healed him and then touched him? Can you imagine the power that was given when Jesus reached out and touched this man? Can you imagine being a parent in the time when there was leprosy and you heard somebody yell unclean? You scooped to go grab your kid so they could keep them as far away from them. And yet Jesus reached out and touched the man and gives him a power of touch that is so positive and healing. And then healing comes from that. You see, I believe that the church needs to reach out and touch our society. We need to also reach out and bring the healing touch of Jesus Christ into our communities and into our world. And so if there is a word that I can come up with for America in the present, it would be this. Or America in the future, it would be this. Repent. Repent individually and collectively. We can't ignore. We can't ignore that not only did Jesus talk about the foundation being strong by building your house on the rock, but there was another guy that was there. And he says, but everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice. Hearing is cheap. Action is power. It's like a foolish man who built his house in the sand. The rain came down and the streams rose and the winds blew and beat against the house. And it fell with a great crash. We cannot be foolish builders. In our country, we must maintain the foundations that this country was blessed by God at from the beginning. Do you realize that for us, that since 1948, South Korea has been through 6 or 7 different entire governments and constitutions? We set records every year. It's 241 years, and we set records every year of being the country with the longest government and structure that's still there. It's not perfect, but I believe it's because of our foundations in Jesus Christ. And woe if we begin to put our foundations in the sand, we too will crash. We need to have a passion for Christ. We need to embrace what this verse from 2 Chronicles says right here. The Lord says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and forgive their sin and heal their land. Humble ourselves, pray, and seek God is what we need to do. Foundations are important. Psalm 11 says this, when the foundations are being destroyed, what can the righteous do? They can humble themselves, pray, and seek the face of God. Then God will hear our land. So what's the takeaway today? The height of your revival is only determined by the depth of our repentance. May God bless America. And may America bless God. Amen? All right. As our worship couple team we're coming up to. You may ask, what's the world coming to? The world's coming to a point where every knee will bow and every tongue confess that He is Lord. So let us stand where we are today. As the lights go out, don't be like that private and kiss your hand. Let's go to the Lord right now. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this wonderful country, for the foundations, for those who paid the ultimate cost and still do today, and for those early founders of this country who saw your hand in the midst of everything and were willing to consider all things lost for the cause of Christ. May we see the same thing in our land today. God, I pray for revival by the power of your Holy Spirit. I pray that the church will embrace a new spirit of grace and love for our fellow man, woman, child, whoever, that we will find people as children of God and not differences. One of the most divisive times in all of Christendom is this time on Sunday morning because we can't even get along in the body of Christ. Forgive us, God, for our failings. Forgive us for our sinfulness. Forgive the body of Christ, for we have been given much and much more is demanded. And so, God, may we get over our petty disagreements and our petty things, and may we look to Jesus Christ, the Son of God. May we look to him as the author and perfecter of our faith, as the true reason why we have freedom. For when you are free in Christ, you are free indeed. And so God, during this time that we are here now, search our hearts. Whatever we're dealing with, it's a little bit different of a sermon today. But God, the whole is only as strong as the sum of its parts. Start with me. Start with me, God. Do I love you with my whole heart and my whole mind? Have I humbled myself? Have I prayed? And am I seeking your face in all areas of my life? Help me not compartmentalize you, but help you be the foundation of my life, and the foundation of my family, and the foundation of my work, and the foundation of all this country. We give you praise in Jesus' name. For others who are here today and need to experience freedom in Christ, we know that every knee will bow and every tongue confess that you are Lord. And God, if somebody needs to do that here today, may they just say to you right now, God, I need you. I need Jesus in my life. I need your healing hand. I need your touch in my life. I need to know that you're real. I question who you are. I struggle with pain and suffering. I struggle with loss. I struggle with anxiety. I struggle with addiction. I struggle with just being lazy. I struggle with liking and loving myself. God, help us to see you. Help us to see you in your love for us. Send people in our way that just show us your love and your grace. Yeah, we need truth. But God, this country and the church needs to embrace a lot of grace that you have given to us. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. Let us not forget that you saved this wretch and that we need to extend that to others. Move in our hearts and minds in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Thank you. All right. I hope that everyone has a great 4th of July. Next week, we're going to start a new series. It's right up here, Get Fishing. All right, so we're going to talk about Get Fishing. And in thinking about that, did you know why the duck said bang? He was a fire quacker. There you go. All right. Have a great week. God bless.